Hello there, I'm Julian Fleischer, host of the Naked American Songbook. My worker bees, Aaron and Ellie, and I are toiling away to make season two a smashing success. It's going to take a while, though, so in the meantime, here's a little something-something to tide you over. So dim the light, sweet darling. Let's get naked.
On a clear day, rise and look around you, and you'll see who you are. On a clear day, nothing.
My friend Isaac Mizrahi is the subject of a mind-blowing, career-spanning retrospective right now at the Jewish Museum on the Upper East Side of Manhattan called Isaac Mizrahi: An Unruly History. And he's only mid-career. The show lasts until the first week of August, and I highly recommend that you check it out.
On a clear day, on a clear day, you can see forever and ever.
That's Burton Lane and Alan J. Lerner.
I did not know that was
some of those. Some of those words are so great.
And that's my favorite Streisand
recording. Hey down below. That's a really, hey up below. What is it thing? Up is where to grow. You know that fantastic number? Oh, no, 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 no. You know that song, right? Hurry, it's lovely up here. That's it. Hurry, it's lovely up here. That's the name of the song.
Was that from Gigi or
no,
something?
No, that's from On a Clear Day.
It is? Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Down below, up is where to grow. You know that song. It's amazing. You should play that. Could you play that now?
We're going to play
that. That's the best song in the world. That's Streisand's song, right?
I prefer On a Clear Day. It's actually my favorite song to listen to Streisand sing because I feel like they, you know, just blow the roof off.
But if you want something new, you have to listen, because that's the best song in the world.
Hey, what's below? Up is where to grow. Up with which below can't compare with. Hurry, it's lovely up here. Down a hole takes an awful toll. What with not a soul there to share with. Hurry, it's lovely up here.
You get that, yeah. That irony.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree
well,
with that.
Well, let's stop now to listen to a recording.
Yeah,
of
let's do it.
The Great Blossom Dearie. This is I think a lot of people will recognize this particular track. It's her and it is she, sorry, and Lyle Lovett. Singing a duet of a song that's usually sung as a solo, Peel Me a Grape.
Oh, right,
this
right.
This is a Dave Frischberg number that's a great classic that she really, I think, made her own. So here's Blossom Dearie and Lyle Lovett.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow.
Poach me a prawn, talk to me nice, you gotta wind me. And
do we listen to the whole thing?
Yeah, let's take a listen. See what you think of it. Right. You like Blossom Dearie.
I do. I love her. And I like Lyle Lovett. And I love this song.
I'm getting hungry. Peel me a grape.
This was, I think, the soundtrack to a commercial for Banana Republic.
Oh, it was. Well, she sounds more like a little girl as she gets older and older. Did you notice that? Like,
yes.
She didn't sound that little girlish in the 50s and 60s. It's just, like, later that she literally worked that to death.
Yeah.
It's so good.
She must have figured out her brand.
Yeah, she got it. Finally. After figuring it out and then hating it, she kind of, like, just went, okay, that's who I am. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think this recording and this commercial brought her to the attention of the world in a way she had never had before.
It's like Nina Simone and that Chanel commercial. No one even thought of Nina Simone before My Baby Just Cares for Me.
Oh, right.
Remember? And that was like in the 80s. And then suddenly there was this big Nina Simone kind of...
It's hard to imagine a world without that recording.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think there's a reference to fur. And
it's
she
like,
sings faux fur. Part of that whole thing.
It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Think me, foaming me.
There's a way to own me. Cologne.
New Thunderbird, me, you heard me. I'm getting hungry. Peel me a grape.
for the sax solo.
I never like a sax solo.
Neither do I. I always
I'm not a sax lover.
I prefer
I don't
a
like
trumpet.
A sax, and I have troubles with flutes. I like them, but you have to be careful with a flute. You know, a jazz flute makes me want to puke sometimes. I like a horn.
You like a brass.
A brass, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I do, too.
And I love a guitar. I'm way into a guitar.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she worked with a really good guitarist. That guy, I forgot his name, but you know that guy who's on all those recordings from, like, the 60s that
it's
are
It's not
just,
Joe Pass.
Maybe. I should know his name, but...
I think that our young friend Aaron Dalton, the stylish Aaron Dalton, is going to find out who that was. It could only be so many people.
Maybe she was even married to him or something, or wasn't she involved with one of them, like either the bass player or
wasn't
the guitarist?
Wasn't it Bob DeRoe she was married to?
There you go. Who was that? What was he?
It
he was a sax player? Oh, no, he wasn't. Okay,
yes,
well, there
Bob
you go.
DeRoe
and she was married to him?
I think they were married or something, or maybe they've just mashed faces. Isaac Mizrahi spends most of his time making other people look good. His fashions can be found everywhere, from the runways of Paris to the aisles of Bloomingdale's to the showrooms of QVC. But he's here this time to give us a glimpse of his own inner sense of what's in style. Isaac Mizrahi strips off the silk, satin, jersey, and faux fur to reveal his own eclectic taste in music.
The other one that's so great is Nat King Cole, but I mean, really, how many times can you do that on your damn show, right? Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole, you know, like, I was going to say, what's his name, just to f*** you up. What's his name?
I cannot be easily f***ed up.
Greco, what's his name? Greco, the great.
Oh, Jimmy.
Jimmy Greco.
Greco?
Yeah. No.
Gecko?
No. He's like a poor man's version of Bobby Darin. Who am I thinking of? He's like a
that
poor
sounds redundant
man's.
To
it's
me.
Great. No, it's really. You need to listen to it.
You're giving me a lot of names.
No, because
Jane
you should
Oliver
listen to that. You need to listen
Greco.
To Jane Oliver. You'll freak out. Buddy Greco.
Oh, Buddy. Right. I knew it was something like Jimmy.
I love her hair. I love her clothes. I love her teeth. Get a load of the bows. Ooh, look there. Ain't she pretty? Jump, 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 ooh, look at her, ain't she pretty?
Ba, 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 ba. Over. I see
it.
A Bravo show.
Ah.
God, you know.
Come on. Wouldn't you do it?
No. Not, I wouldn't do reality TV. I would do something, I would do another thing.
I enjoy watching you on Project Runway
oh,
All
yeah?
Stars.
Oh, yeah? Do you? You're kidding. You watch that?
I'm going to be very honest with you. I watch very little TV. I don't even have a TV. The one I mentioned is upstate where there's no uh-huh. reception. It's just for watching movies.
Wow.
So when I do watch, I usually watch on the iPad. And okay. I have to say, Project Runway is one of my all-time favorite shows.
It's a good show.
It's because they actually show people making something that not everybody can make. And yeah. the less they deal with the, you know, the internecine drama... Mm-hmm. the better it is.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's about the creative process which makes it good.
It's great. I'd mm-hmm. like to watch shows like that. I mean, I think Sarah Jessica Parker had that art show, which was...
That was a good show. I mean, for the same reasons the Project Runway was good. It was good. It was about making something.
It is about making something, but sadly, art doesn't really function in the same way. I mean, honestly, and I feel like that's a little bit what this show is designed to do. Part of my mission is to open up the, you know, the margins a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I include myself in the you know, the cast of characters who need some enlightenment.
Yeah.
How's that?
I think so.
Thank you.
I agree with that.
Now,
we all do.
Yeah. But not you. You're
No, I do. Are you kidding
come
me?
On. You're enlightenment itself. You're the soul of enlightenment. I want to talk about this era, the 50s and the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Which you mentioned was something really turned you on.
Yeah. Jazz.
Yeah.
In the 50s and 60s.
Right. As it was beginning to bump up against rock and
mm-hmm.
roll.
Yeah.
And it got kind of
mm-hmm.
hip.
Right.
Yeah. That was a pretty exciting moment. And I share that with you, a love of that era.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about like, you know, that was more sort of like Tom Jones or something.
Yeah.
Than what I'm talking about. Because you were talking about the songbook, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going like, you know, well, again, it was like, Judy Garland or something, or you know Frank
right.
Sinatra when they were doing those giant, like amazing
the
arrangements
stuff, yeah.
of like amazing arrangements of like a song.
Right,
like
Irving,
Irving Berlin song.
We both said
and
Irving
then
Berlin.
It and then it sounded like some fabulous jazz arrangement or like Brazil 66 or something. You know,
right.
That I lived for when I was a little tiny baby. Brazil 66 singing the Beatles or something. You know, it just always was a great thing to me, right? Do the Beatles count as a songbook, part of the songbook?
You're going to have to take that up with the rest of the world. I would think so.
Yeah, I would think
I
so,
mean,
too.
I think the problem with the Beatles sometimes is that their songs are so tightly connected to their production that it's hard to hear that song outside of the setting they built for it.
But like Man on a Hill or something, or, you know, A Little Help from My Friends, you know, all those covers that were done when we were like teenagers, that was so completely hilarious.
Can't buy me love. Can't buy me love. Can't buy me love. I'll buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel all right.
Right. Well, that's because a lot of these great artists were desperately trying to hang on to their careers. Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald, they all recorded these crazy Beatles albums to try and kind of keep up with the times.
But,
and,
you know,
I think it always, you know, this starts the conversation, what makes a standard a standard? I mean, you know, is it just a memorable song or is it a song that somehow...
But like Man on a Hill or something, or, you know, A Little Help from My Friends, you know, all those covers that were done when we were like teenagers, that was so completely hilarious.
Oh, you make me feel
But it's fine. It's fine. I think we're having a perfectly enjoyable conversation.
We are.
I want to know what you're up to these days.
What am I up to?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Well,
what occupies
a lot of things. I'm working on a big kind of a mid-career survey at the Jewish Museum.
Up on the Upper East Side?
And stuff. Yeah, up on the Upper East Side. Clothes and costumes and some performance elements are going to be in there. It's a big scale show.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's a big thing in my life. I'm also writing a memoir, if you could believe it. I think I'm too young to write a memoir.
You're far too young to write it. Well, I can't wait to read it, though.
it's gonna be like a, it's kind of like
you're
a...
You're going to put Hemingway in there?
No,
come on.
I don't think so. That's a different book. That's a different book.
Oh, I see. So you're whitewashing your history for posterity.
No, I'm not whitewashing it. As a matter of fact, I'm making it even less white than it was. But
wow. All right. So that's exciting. So you're at home like slaving over a hot
laptop,
right? A lot
of stuff,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Writing
yes.
a memoir.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't wait to see the show, by the way. I mean, it's a little bit awkward because I'm a fan of yours. I have to say, you know, like your career is really an exciting one to witness.
It is. Well, thank you. I'm glad you think so. I mean, and yet I would be so comfortable to change the subject. Could we please change the subject? I'm so not good at talking about, like, my career because...
I'm just curious about
I better get used to it because it's coming up a
Here
lot.
Here you come.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to say, forgive me for being just a straight-up fanboy, but Unzipped is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Well,
Of all movies.
Thank you so much.
Here's my process. I get inspired somehow, somewhere, from the ballet, from dance, from a movie, from something. I get this gesture in my head, and then I think, like, is this worthy of doing a whole collection? Usually it is, because it's the only thing I can think of. And from there, I just do all these millions of sketches about that one gesture. That's a Chesterfield with the Astrakhan trim. And I work with Annika. They make patterns. This would be Coyote, and that would be Beast, let's say, trim.
There's some good music in that, too. There's that Bobby Darin version of By the Sea, which is a, you know, classic thing. There's Sandra Bernhardt, who covered Mighty Reel way so incredibly well.
Can't beat it.
You can't beat it. There's some good music in that show.
It's a very entertaining hour and a half. Also, because it shows how deeply devoted you need to be to your muse at a time like that. And how, you know, how you, a spark of an idea has to, you know, be cultivated so lovingly and at the expense of virtually everything else to turn it into what you turn it into, which is a spectacular collection.
Oh. Well, thank you.
And you've been listening to the Naked American Songbook. I don't know about you, but I feel naked as a jaybird over here.
I feel pretty damn vulnerable myself.
Do you feel exposed?
I do, yeah.
I hope so. That's why I brought you here, so I could see you naked.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Isaac Mizrahi, for joining me on the Naked American Songbook. It's been a pleasure having you here. I want to invite my audience to visit my show page and to find me on Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. We'll go into that. I don't know what else to say other than thank you.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thanks.
Isaac Mizrahi, An Unruly History, a mind-blowing, career-spanning retrospective, right now at the Jewish Museum on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. It's an amazing show. I highly recommend it, and it's up and running through the first week of August. If you want more of my chat with Isaac Mizrahi, go back to episode 5, and you can hear Isaac convince me to give Johnny Mathis a second chance. Non sequitur? Perhaps. Entertaining? Yes.
Yeah.
How was that?
Really fun. Really fun.
You felt it?
Yeah, I felt
good.
It.